prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
There's a battle for the soul of America.
We can't let him tear the kingdom down.
This is no game. This is war.
Flesh and blood. It's between the bad and good. We can't stop until the trumpet sounds. This is war. Not a game we're playing. This is a war.
The only question is, which side will you be on? It's time now for a call to decision with Pastor Butch Paul.
Satan's armies come to kill. This is war.
Hello and welcome, my friends. This is Pastor Butch Paul. It is hard to believe it's 29 July already, 2025. Welcome to this broadcast. We're going to bring up a very special guest tonight that I read about online. He's got a ministry reaching the people that we sometimes think are unreachable, but they're not. We're going to discuss about what's happening in, we'll say, Muslim countries, and how fast they're turning to Christ, actually. And sometimes I can't help but wonder, yeah, that's why some people are attacking them so hard, because they're Christians turning to Christianity, and some nations do not like Christians. That's all there is to it. But nonetheless, before we do that, don't forget we're going to be having Bible study this weekend. Hopefully this coming Saturday at 10:30 a.m. Eastern. We will start out, as always, with our prayer requests and praise reports. And I would love to have a phone call about that. People calling and ask for prayer requests or making praise reports, because, folks, this is what it's all about. We're the body of Christ. We're supposed to work together in unison, seeking the will of our Father and doing what's right in His eyes. Of course, 11:30, we'll be getting to Christian Worldview News. Then 1 o'clock, get into Bible study. Now, I want to just make a comment on this towards this weekend's lesson. Unless our Father changes it, I want to teach a lesson on something that's so dangerous and so easily brought into our lives that we don't really think about it until we're just eaten alive with it, and that is doubt. That is doubt. You know, I'm not going to get into the whole lesson right now, but when you study about the wheat and the tares, the wheat and the tares seed looks alike. It grows in the field looking alike until harvest time. That's the only time you can tell it apart. Along with the good seed, which is faith, Satan sows doubt. The enemy comes in and sows doubt. So be careful, folks, that Satan doesn't bring in a seed of doubt that grows into such a huge harvest in your life that destroys your faith. Now, we're going to discuss that in some details coming Saturday, Lord willing. So please join us by going to PastorButch.com at 10:30 a.m. and watch us live. Just click on the site there. You'll find Rumble. Click on that, and there will be. Or if you don't have an online service, you can listen on the phone. If you want to call us at 339-209-5013, 339-209-5013. The enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And, folks, he doesn't do that with a pitchfork in his hand and a machine gun in the other. He doesn't do that. He starts out like he did in the garden, planting a little bit of doubt in the minds of God's people, and they go from there on their own. That's happened all through history since man has been put on this earth. So please to join us this coming Saturday, because this lesson may literally save your life and save your soul. And I'm serious about that. Now, if you want to call at the office and talk to Team Bay about maybe we'll place an order or give a donation, we'd appreciate that. You can call the office if you don't have a long distance service. You can call us toll free at 800-777-4403. 800-777-4403. If you do have long distance, please call us on our toll number because it does save us quite a bit of money at the end of the month. 304-846-4448. 304-846-4448 to call the office in the world from 9 to 4, generally 5 days a week. Of course, we're in the office personally, Crystal and I, on Thursday between 9 and 4 Eastern to take orders, talk a while, whatever you want to do. We're a ministry. We're not unreachable. We're here to try to serve the body of Christ and glorify our Father. And tonight we're going to discuss that issue. You know, this program covers all issues. You know that. We shy from nothing. We look at everything, try to look at everything from a biblical perspective. And that makes us unpopular to a lot of people. But that's just the way it is. Because all things must be based on truth. And the Word of God is the only absolute truth there is. Now, I know that, again, that seed of doubts come in and clogged a lot of people's faith lines, so to speak. They don't want to believe that. They think there's errors in it, and they try to reason around it and try to get their own reasoning in on it. But the Word of God is absolute truth. And without that, nothing can stand. And our duty as believers is to tell the world about the faith we have in Jesus Christ and the hope we have in Jesus Christ. Through His grace and His mercy and His shed blood, the hope we have of eternal life that's beyond this world. Brothers and sisters and friends, I'm telling you right now that I am so thankful. And the older I get, the more thankful I become of the prices paid on Calvary. Yes, for many years, as a new Christian or younger Christian, physically younger, I sometimes took a lot of things for granted. Believe me, getting older makes you appreciate every day and make you understand that you're getting closer to leaving the world. You're more and more thankful for the grace of giving us to Jesus Christ. And there are people all over the world who are literally starving for the grace of Christ and for this, the knowledge of salvation through Him and how to reach the only begotten, the only God with the only begotten Son through His Son. And the people of this world are literally starving physically and spiritually for this need. And they're starving because their nations are being destroyed morally, and they've become a wicked society, corrupt. And anyone who dares question the chosen God of their countries can be put to death, at least punished, and pay a terrible price for their faith. But our job is to reach those people. And our guest tonight, Don Schenck, has an organization that's just trying to do just that, mostly with the Muslim countries. As I said about a month ago, Iran, from what I understand, is the fastest growing nation in faith in Christ. Iran. Makes me kind of wonder why everybody wants to bomb them all of a sudden. But nonetheless, that should tell us that the gospel of Christ is reaching people all over the world. My job as a pastor is to try to reach all I can and expose the truth in all matters. But the main drive of the church is to spread the gospel of Christ, as Matthew 28 tells us, and to disciple nations, no matter what their background, no matter what their race, no matter their religious preferences up until now, we are to take to them the gospel of Christ and offer them a hope of the world. Now, I'm going to shut up now. I could be going on too long. I'm going to bring up our guest, Don Schenck. Don, are you there?
I am here, Pastor Bush.
It is so good to have you, Don. I appreciate you joining me. I really do. I got to speak to you a little while today, and I really admire what you're trying to do. And I have to say that I think a lot of times we lose sight, sometimes, we all do, of the main goal of the church is to disciple nations, teaching them whatever Christ commands us, and offering them the grace and the hope is through Christ and His shed blood on Calvary. Sometimes we forget that because we're involved in a world of warfare, literally spiritual warfare. And we haven't done so well in America lately. We keep ceding ground to the enemy without even so much, very little fight, if at all. And I see it happening in all the world, but I just had a guest on last night from Canada, a pastor in Canada, who spent over 2 months in jail because he dared ask a librarian why she would want to have sexual perversion brought in front of the children in the library. That's all he did was ask a question, and he left. He spent two months in jail because of that. So we're seeing the church persecuted all over the world, and I do support a ministry called Voice of the Martyrs. I know that many Muslims are returning to Christ, and they're witnessing other Muslims, and some are being killed for it almost daily. Many are being arrested and harassed, their families scattered, their homes destroyed because of their faith in Christ. So, folks, we take for granted a lot that I'm on the radio tonight talking freely so far about Christ and what he can do for those who believe in him. But some nations don't do that and won't tolerate that. And Don, will you bring us up to date on who you are, a little bit of bio about who Don is, and what you do?
Certainly, Butch. I'll gladly do that. My primary identity, which I will also, when somebody asks me, who are you? I am a child of the Most High God, and that is my primary identity. In my earthly identity, my parents were missionaries in Africa. I was born in Zimbabwe, Africa. Grew up in a Christian home. My faith became real to me, though, in my early childhood years. And so it was something, the foundation was laid by my parents, but then at a Christian camp where I really felt the Holy Spirit pulling at me and urging me that this is truth. And it became real to me. I struggled. You know, you talk about doubt. There was times when growing up, I grew up in an environment where at that time there was racial discrimination. It was Southern Rhodesia. It's now Zimbabwe, where it's independent. So I wrestled with this thing that I knew the truth that God loves all people, but I was forced to go to school in an area where I was with all white students, and many of them didn't believe that the indigenous people of Zimbabwe had any worth or value. So I had those struggles, but as God continued to draw me closer, after I got married, came back to the U.S., went to college, and got married, my wife and I were called into missions, and we served for 12 years as missionaries in Zimbabwe. After that, just sense God saying, I'm done with you here, and I didn't, that's a whole other story to tell. I did not want to leave Zimbabwe. I loved it. I'd grown up there. I loved the people. I loved the environment. I loved everything about it. But God said very clearly, and he confirmed it with some letters and some voices from some other people, that I was to move on to something else. And I didn't know what that was. I got back here to the States, and people said, well, we need pastors. So I applied to a couple churches. One church asked me to come pastor. It just didn't feel right. It didn't sit right with myself or with my wife. And we thought, no, that's just not where God's calling me. And then a friend of mine who I'd gone to boarding school with as a child, he called. We hadn't talked in a long time. He was pastoring a church here. He was also, his sermons were being used in a radio program called the Gospel Tide Hour. And he talked to me about various things, you know, what are you going to do? And he mentioned some possibilities. And he said, by the way, you know, this ministry that I'm a part of, the director's retiring. Maybe that'd be something you'd be interested in. And I looked into it, and I realized that here was a ministry, and I'll have to go back and explain the ministry a little bit. It started in 1946 in Chambersburg, Pennsylvania. Chambersburg was getting its first radio station, and some people in the congregation convinced their pastor to do a radio program and said, we'll pay for it for the first year if you do it, and he did. It grew regionally across the U.S., and then when Transworld Radio opened up transmitters, he was invited to put that program on Southern Africa, where there's a lot of English-speaking people because there were former British colonies, and also to India. But in India, the response was not as strong until they transitioned into the Hindi language. And that started a shift for the ministry. So when I joined in 2000, I heard about the opportunity. I submitted my resume, you know, researched it, and here I am 20-some years later. But the ministry at that point, we still had the English program, but God was opening doors in countries overseas and making it very clear that there were people who didn't have access to the gospel that needed to hear about Jesus.
Amen.
And we came to a kind of crossroads as a ministry where we realized that we were producing a radio program here in English, and we also had God opening doors in other countries. And we just felt, some people advised us that don't stop that English program because you'll lose your whole support base. You'll lose connection with people. But God just made it clear he wanted us to focus on other parts of the world. And so I'm not saying that anybody that has an English radio program is wrong. I'm just saying there is a lot of good English programming, but there is a scarcity of programming in some countries. For example, in India, we're doing 13 different languages just in the Indian subcontinent. And some of those languages, there is no other radio program or media outreach available, the gospel media outreach available in their language. And so that's what the transition that we made. And in 2008, we said, we're not going to put resources into reaching English-speaking people. We're going to focus on other areas of the world. And since then, God has opened more and more doors and just validated that decision and said, yes, you're doing what I've called you to do. And we did not lose connection with our support base. We're grateful for the many who continue to support the ministry. But
Go ahead. I was going to say, you just made a statement, a step out on faith, and remind me of a testimony. Have you ever heard Dimitri Duman?
I'm sorry, could you mention that again?
Have you ever heard of Dimitri Duman?
I'm not familiar with that.
Okay, he was a prophet sent here from Romania back in the 80s and 90s. He was sent here to warn America about if we don't change our ways, we're going to be destroyed. And he gave a prophecy, and I'm seeing him come true right now. I'm not calling somebody a liar when they say they're a prophet, but the Bible says the way you prove them is watch what they say. He's prophesying things that are coming true as we speak. But your story, when you stepped out on faith, you didn't want to leave your home country. You didn't want to come over here. You were comfortable where you were. Well, that's the way Dimitri was. He was in Romania. Mm-hmm. And he didn't speak English. Right. He didn't want to leave his country. And God told him he was leaving and gave him a day he was going to leave on. Now, this is, and Dimitri, 2 weeks before the day was coming, without any confirmation other than God told him, he started selling his properties, giving things away, and get ready to pack up in America. And I thought, when you said that, that's basically the same thing. You stepped out on faith without being told where you're, just like Abraham did, without being told where you were going, I'm going to go. And I admire that. I really do. That takes us to, that is a step of real faith. And look what God's brought out of it for you.
Exactly. I marvel sometimes when I think of what who I am. I am essentially, as an individual and a person, I'm not a remarkable person. But I serve a remarkable God.
Amen.
And God can do remarkable things when we just step out in obedience. And I've seen it over and over again, working with a board of directors who are committed to prayerful consideration and to seeking the guidance of the Holy Spirit to where this ministry should go. And, you know, here we are. This year we're celebrating our 79th anniversary. And please make it clear to your listeners, I'm not the founder. I'm not 79 years old.
Yep, folks, she's going to 102 right now. But anyway, go ahead.
Yeah, but, you know, and the resources have come in. There have been times when we have not known whether we were going to make it through the end of the month to pay the airtime bills or the support.
Yes.
And, you know, just faith, just keep going, and God provides. It's wonderful to be a child of Most High God. And, you know, you talked about doubts earlier. The enemy does try to come in and bring doubts, and we cannot entertain those doubts. We can't
say. No, we
say,
can't. And at least one, if you don't get rid of it, will grow into a huge, it's like tears. They'll grow into a full-grown plant. You got to get it out of you before it starts growing.
Yeah.
And that's just the way it is.
Yeah, here we are moving forward and, you know, seeing lives transformed around the world. And we have four guiding principles as a ministry now that we follow. And one of those is to share the gospel in the language with people in the language that they naturally use. And we're not translating English programming. We do help them. We help them train them and give them resources to use to produce a clear, biblically true message to share. But we want people to understand that we're not bringing, if I learn a language, people will still know that I'm not a native speaker of that language. You know, I can't help but some of my accent comes through, and
yeah,
people recognize that. But when an indigenous speaker shares, that aspect of a cultural influence disappears. And so there's a barrier that falls down. When somebody hears me sharing the gospel in another country, they equate that to a certain degree with my culture. But when they hear one of their own people sharing the gospel in their own language, sharing what God has done in their heart, there is that sense of identity and realizing, okay, so this is genuine. This is a faith. This isn't just a cultural shift. And for many, it does lead to some cultural changes, but ultimately what it's about is giving them the faith and the hope and the peace that they do not have otherwise, and that many, you know, other religions don't offer that.
No, they don't. No, they at best, the religion of works, and that's about boiled down to. And I mean, I don't care what Buddhism, Hinduism, Muslim, or whatever it may be, they offer no grace, no true salvation as Christianity, as Christ did. It's just not offered. But now, how many nations are you say you're in right now? You're translating languages to?
Well, currently we have ministry bases in 13 different countries, plus we also have outreach in the Middle East. So, and the languages, that we're over 30 languages now that we're doing. Some of those, like I said, there's in India, we have 13 languages right there in that country. Afghanistan, we have two different languages there. In the Middle East, we do have several different Arabic dialects that we're doing. We started in 2021 with the Egyptian dialect, then started with Syrian in 23 and Lebanese. And this year, we introduced programming in the Jordanian dialect. For some of that, some of those, they're just fresh content that people have never heard the gospel presented that way in their own language by somebody who speaks it. And as I said, in that culturally relevant context.
That is remarkable. It truly is. And those people are probably shocked. They probably have never heard the gospel before, or maybe they've heard it, we'll say, under in the dark corner somewhere. Somebody's trying to share it secretly because they don't want to be arrested or killed. But they've never heard it spoken like that, I'm sure, by radio and reaching thousands and millions of people. And who would have thought then that in India there would be 13 different languages spoke anyway? That's amazing. But so, what kind of response? I mean, Go ahead.
There's many. There's actually many more languages in India. There's an incredible number of languages there that are spoken. It's probably one of the most linguistically diverse nations in the world.
My goodness. And what sort of response are you having? I know from what I've seen and read, Muslim people especially are starting to realize that things are not quite right and are trying to seek the answers. And for the first time, they have a hope of salvation without being shot or cursed for doing something wrong, or they have a hope and grace finally. But what kind of response you having with all these nations going into?
It is incredible that people, when they hear the truth, it resonates. You know, we were created in truth and with truth, but of course the sin nature has blemished that. But there is something that resonates with each and every person when they hear God's truth. And for so the responses that we get, you know, you mentioned India. There, with those languages, we get, on average, we get over 2,000 responses per month. And many, many of them are asking for additional information. You know, they'll say, I heard about Jesus on the radio. I want to know more. Please send me a Bible. Send me some literature. And so that's the other side of the equation. What we do is not just equip indigenous groups to produce and distribute the gospel in a media format. Now, we used to do all radio, but of course with the internet and also more people accessing video, we have various formats in some of these countries. Essentially, however people are consuming media, we want to have the gospel available to them in that media, in their language.
And so, these people probably are breaking their laws, at least their customs, but a lot of them breaking law, but bringing in the gospel, are they not?
They are. It's a gray area, and I know you want to talk mostly about the Muslim nations, but India is also a high priority for us. And since you mentioned breaking the laws, India is officially a secular republic, similar to the United States, but the government wants it to be a Hindu nation. And that emboldens people on the ground, the radical Hindus, to persecute Christians. And
right,
so,
right,
you know, it can be anything from being denied access to the village well, told you can't trade at the markets, or being thrown out of the village. The worst case is it's actual beatings, and people are killed for their faith. And that's not just in the Hindu nations. We see that also. We get responses. It's interesting that God has opened the door for us to be in so many countries where there is a heavy Islamic influence. You know, people don't think of Cameroon as an Islamic nation, but there's in the north of Cameroon, there's a very heavy Muslim presence. But we, through our new radio outreach there, it's only 2 years old, we're getting an incredible number of people who are turning to the gospel. Interesting, in the southern part of Cameroon, we're seeing a large number of baptisms because that's further away. Up in the northern part, we're seeing the converts. They're accepting Jesus, but they're not taking that step of baptism because that's a public act, visible for all the community. And once they take that, they are targeted. They're saying, oh, so you are now a Christian. And
all right, hang on to the break for you, Don. We've got to take a break here.
Okay.
Folks, that break will take your phone call. If you have any questions, comments, give us a call, 717-300-1698. 717-300-1698. We do want to hear from you. I'm so thankful that I met Don and know what he's doing to reach these people all over the world. Back at the break.
Times, or as the Bible says, perilous times. We're starting to see shortages of many products in America, cars, clothing, furniture, and even food. We can't do much about the cars, clothing, and furniture, but we can with the food, simply by calling the Man of Foods, the best in store foods bar none. They have a shelf life over 25 years, are great tasting, no GMOs, no chemical preservatives, no aspartame or high fructose corn syrup, and no MSGs. Give the Man a call at 888-597-0775. That's 888-597-0775. Or go to namana.com. Mention that Pastor Butch sent you and get a 10% discount. That's 888-597-0775. You'll be glad you did.
Hi there, and thank you so much for listening. This is Summer. I'm owner and operator here at Superior Mountain Herbs. Please visit us at www.superiormountainherbs.com. You can always call or text 406-274-7579. We'd be happy to assist you with any of your health and wellness needs, whether you're currently combating serious disease and infection like cancer, or you're just simply looking to keep your body in great shape and maintain what God has already given you, you can visit us and we would absolutely love to help you. Once again, visit us at www.superiormountainherbs.com or give us a call at 406-274-7579 to get your hands on some of the most incredible handcrafted, organic, and wildcrafted supplements on the planet. SuperiorMountainHerbs.com.
Hello, folks. Pastor Butch here. A lot of y'all are asking me to give our address out on the air, and I never take time during the interviews, but here's our address. If you want to write to us, send us a letter, say hello, or place an order, or whatever you want to do, our address is simple. It's Pastor Butch Paul, P-A-U-G-H, or call to Decision Ministries. The address is 224 Herd. That's spelled H-U-R-D. 224 Herd Road, Netty, N-E-T-T-I-E, N-E-T-T-I-E, West Virginia, 26681. 224 Herd Road, Netty, West Virginia, 26681. There you go. Thanks a lot.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it. Nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cedarstrom, on Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
This is war, not a game we're playing. This is a war. Brothers, hear me what I'm saying. Pick up your sword and shield. Get on the battlefield. Satan's armies come to kill. This is war.
All righty, folks. We are back here and talking to Don Schenck. We're discussing an organization. We'll let me get more news about that, and I can contact the organization in a few minutes. But, you know, we're talking about spreading the gospel all over the world. And let's face it, folks. We in America have become so complacent and apathetic and really spoiled. We haven't really faced opposition to the gospel in this country since its founding. Yes, it's increasing. We're no longer a Christian nation. That's for sure. We're no longer a Christian nation at all. At best, we're a humanist nation, and that's even shaky. But persecution is many times a blessing. It is a blessing in disguise because people will be tested and will stand for their faith, and persecution spreads the gospel. And that's true in the Scripture and in biblical times, and Christ left, that the people were persecuted, and they spread all over the world taking the gospel of Christ. But if you're so complacent and so afraid of speaking the truth because you may be persecuted, laughed at, mocked, ridiculed, whatever, you need to read Matthew chapter 10 very carefully. Because every time you deny Christ, keeping your mouth shut, and you're told testify and don't, or share a word of faith, well, you don't do it because of fear. You're denying Christ before men. Christ, if you do that, I'll deny before my Father. The church in America might need more persecution to grow in faith and strength in Christ. So what Don is doing is taking the gospel of Christ to people all over the world who are being persecuted for the faith. But that's many times where the gospel of Christ blooms and blossoms and prospers is in a prosperity. Because many people see these true believers being persecuted, but they don't lose their faith. And that in itself is a strong witness to the world. You can go to church three times a week for 40 years. But if your faith isn't shown by your life and by your words and by how you conduct yourself, that form of enticing of religion and Christianity is shallow at best. But people are willing to go to prison for the cause of Christ. People want to give their lives for the glory of Christ. just to spread the gospel through their families and their friends. Those are the ones that our Father can use to glorify Himself and reach others. And Don, I got to say, you're equipping people of the world with the gospel of Christ, and that's such a huge blessing. But you also are taking them into dangerous areas with their faith because they're living in a place where Christ is not wanted. For any competing faith, religion in their area is not wanted. You said in India, they went to Hindu religion to be the state religion. So when you take in Christianity, then you actually are causing conflict. But that's what Christ said. I didn't come to bring peace. I came to bring a sword. So the gospel of Christ will be in conflict with man's ways, won't it?
Right. And though, you know, Jesus did say that, you know, in that context, he didn't come to bring peace, to bring a sword. But in another aspect, he does come to bring peace to us internally.
Amen.
In a way that we have a peace that allows us to withstand whatever is going on around us.
Amen.
And I think,
that's a crazy doctrine.
You would ask earlier. Yeah. You had asked earlier about, you know, some of the responses, and I gave a response more like in terms of numbers and that. But let me just share a couple of responses that we've had from some people in Afghanistan. Where one says, Jesus changed my perspective on God's character because I thought God wanted to punish us always. But now I know that he loves us. So there's a different understanding. There's something that is different, and people see, okay, so God isn't lording it over us full of rules and regulations and demands. And then certainly there are, you know, we have the Ten Commandments. We have guidelines for righteous living. But it's presented by a God who loves us, not a God who's just waiting to punish us. We had another call came in from somebody actually complaining. Not, believe it or not, not all the responses we get are positive. We do get a lot of negative responses, especially to the Arabic and some of the other, some of those in Afghanistan, where people are upset with what we're saying. They're accusing us of blasphemy. But, you know, we had one father called in and said, you know, you got to stop broadcasting this. My children won't go to the mosque with me anymore now, but they're listening to your radio program. And so they're learning truth. And the thing is, in many of these Muslim areas, Jesus is mentioned in the Quran, but he's only presented as a prophet.
Right.
And he's not presented as a loving Savior who gave his life so that we can have life. And when people hear that, you know, just to understand, God loves me so much. This came from a child in Afghanistan, says, Jesus helped me to understand my worth in life.
Wow, that is powerful. That is powerful.
Yeah.
repeat that again. That's powerful. Folks, listen to this.
Jesus helped me to understand my worth in life. And to see a child understanding, especially in a war-torn area, you know, the whole Middle East has been troubled by conflicts. And,
oh, yes.
You know, we're in other Muslim countries like Albania, Kosovo, North Macedonia, and we're expanding this year. We now have a program in the Serbian language, so we're going into more Balkan regions. But all of these areas are just rife with political conflict and religious conflict. And there's just this sense of unease, and people are searching for something solid, something to give them hope. And the only way they can find that, the only place you can find it, is in a relationship with Jesus Christ and understanding that God does value each one of us. And that value is so high that he sent his son Jesus to stand in our place, to take the punishment, to take all those things that we fear onto himself to give us a peace and a life and a solid place to stand. And that's the message that we're taking out to the world.
That is a beautiful message. There's nothing any more precious than that message itself. Tell us a little bit about your group and what the name of it is, and just give us an idea how to find a website or something about them.
Yeah, we are. Our official name is Gospel Tide Broadcasting Association. Our website is thetide.org. So we kind of use the Tide as our street name, if you will. But if anyone would like to learn more about the ministry, go to thetide.org. You can learn about the various countries we're in, learn a little bit more about some of the things that are happening there. We have prayer guides on there, the way that people can be praying for people in other parts of the world. There's a sign-up link. You can sign up for our newsletter. And, of course, the financial support is always welcomed. We operate, we're not affiliated with any denomination or other church group. We are an independent ministry, and we rely completely on the goodwill of donors. And God has been gracious with that and inspired people to provide. And that's the one thing I would say, you know, that there's much in America that is negative and much that we would say portrays an image that is definitely not Christian.
Amen.
But there is within this nation a very strong foundation. God has a strong foundation here. We just need to build on it. And I'm grateful for that strong foundation, because we couldn't do what we're doing around the world without that strong foundation here and the support that comes out of it. But we need to build that foundation. And as you were talking earlier, we need to get away from this fear of being ridiculed or socially outcast if we talk openly about our faith. I think we need to make spiritual conversations part of our everyday conversation. And that's one of the things that we do as the Tide. We encourage people here. We have what we call the Have You Heard Challenge. And we're challenging people. Just ask people, have you heard about Jesus? Do you know Jesus? And if they say no, just can I tell you? You know, because, you know, Pastor Butch, if you and I met on the street and we were total strangers, well, we'd start talking. It wouldn't be long if, before we knew where we lived, a little bit about families and what our work was. But if we didn't really know each other well, we might steer shy of talking about our spiritual lives. And I think that's too many believers in America think that our spiritual lives have to be internalized, where God calls us for the exact opposite. And Jesus says,
amen,
live it openly. Tell others about it. That's an important thing. You know, you mentioned the passage in Matthew, the Great Commission. It's repeated in different ways in some of the other Gospels. And again, in Acts, the last thing Jesus says before he ascends into heaven is, you all be my witnesses. Start right here and take it out to the world. And that's what we're called to do. Step outside your door. Step into your community and tell people about Jesus. Let them see the difference he's made in your lives, and tell them who he is, why you're different, why you have different values, and just why you're able to have peace in the midst of turmoil.
Amen.
And it's all because of Jesus.
Well, let me ask you a question. Do you ever get comments from other countries that say, rightfully so, that America is not a Christian nation? Matter of fact, America is a very wicked nation. Why are you here trying to spread your faith in our country? You ever get questions like that?
We don't get a lot of that directly, because I'm not the one who's there trying to spread my faith. We train the indigenous people to share their faith. So, and that's the true value of working with people who were born in that culture, grew up in that culture, speak the language of that culture, is that they don't see this as something coming from America. They don't see it as something coming from Europe.
Uh-huh.
They see this as, okay, this is, they see it for what it is. They see it as a genuine faith, something that has transformed someone's life. And they want that transformation. They welcome it. Now, you know, I do have, I've been in some countries where I've had people question things, and people look at things differently. Now, here's a simple thing. I was in a home in Africa, and the Olympics were on, and ice skating was on. And, yeah, the figure skater was out there, and the guy looked at me, and he said, "Why is she naked?" And she wasn't. She just had skin-tight fittings on. But in that culture, showing every part of her body was the same as being naked. And so it just shows that there's a different cultural understanding of things. But Scripture and God's Word transcends culture. But it is best communicated from within that culture, rather than saying, okay, you've got to change and become like an American, which is absolutely wrong. It says you've got to allow God to change your heart. And that might cause you to give up some things that you would think are cultural. Another example from Africa, I was at a school and there was a local mountain there. There was a grass fire burning, and the guy said to me, "You know, we believe we're going to have good rains now because that mountain is burning." And I said, "But why do you believe that?" And he said, "Well, I just have to because it's part of my culture."
Oh, okay.
And so, you know, now this was a guy who professed to be a Christian. And I said, "Yeah, but so how do you reconcile that with your faith?" And so that led to a deeper conversation about, you know, and he said, "Well, you know, the truth is, I don't know if the witch doctor goes out and sets that fire just so that we see it burning and believe the rain will come, or, you know." But it's very hard sometimes in other cultures. And I'll say even here in the U.S., it's sometimes hard to differentiate between culture and religion. I think there's a huge number of people here in the U.S. who will say, you know, "God bless America. I'm a Christian because I'm an American." And
doesn't work that way.
They don't make it distinguished. No, it doesn't work that way. And so some of the things, we do try to be very intentional when we're helping our partners to produce the programming, to make sure that we're doing it in a non-confrontational way and not attacking other religious practices, but rather presenting gospel truth. So we don't try to get in and engage in debates. You know, there may be places for that, but we want to simply present God's truth. Present truth without trying to attack your lifestyle. Yeah, like the story of the people who dug through a roof to put a cripple in front of Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's a beautiful picture of our task is to get people to Jesus. Let's get them to Jesus. Introduce them to Jesus. Let Jesus make the change. We don't tell them what they have to change. We tell them truth. We teach them truth and let the Holy Spirit convict. Let Jesus work in their lives and transform them into who he created them to be.
And, you know, you made a statement stuck in my mind. You're talking about cultures and difference in cultures. And unless you've been outside this country and lived somewhere for a while, it's basically, I'd say, if you're a Christian. If you're not a Christian, I guess you aren't as aware of it. But the difference in cultures is enough to throw you off balance somewhat, if you know what I'm saying. Because
we're
seeing things we never heard of before. And the people that believe them, excuse me, really believe them. They think this is part of their life, as you said. This is what we believed, and so I got to believe that. And we may laugh at that, but to them it's very serious, isn't it?
Right. Yeah, that's why I shared at the beginning when I shared and made sure that I shared in my personal testimony when my faith came personal to me. Because I was, as I said, raised in a Christian home. Now, think of somebody raised in a Hindu home. Think of somebody raised in an Islamic home. Think of somebody raised in a Buddhist home. It's what you're raised with. It's what you come to believe and accept. But there has to come a time where you realize, okay, is this real or isn't it? me through the halftime game at a children's camp where I was just convicted and convinced that this is the real. And I accepted him and placed my faith in him. And so that is a thing that for people from other cultures and other religions, they need to experience that same transformation, that same conviction and convincing and accepting Jesus. And that's what changes. It's not taking them out of their culture. It's separating their culture and their religion and giving them truth and God's love in place of rules and rituals and regulations.
Of course. That was true in Christ's time with the Pharisees and Sadducees. Your traditions are making my word void, so to speak, because it makes no sense. So, yeah, really, cultures and traditions can lead. I admire you all, the people that work in those societies, that overcome them because they were raised in those societies, too. They understand better than we do. And I'm sure that they can explain better why these changed. But that is a big thing to overcome. It truly is.
It is.
Someone's been raised in a Muslim home or a Hindu home or where it may be, to come in and teach there's another way and their way had been deceitful. That's a big shock, Don. There's no way around that. That's got to be a shock.
Right. It is. But when they realize, the realization that Scripture, God's word, is true, and that God fulfills his promises, and he gives you that peace and that assurance that even lets you stand up to persecution. That's something you can't fake.
That's true.
Yeah, that's true. You know, if you have a knife to your throat, or you're told to kneel down and bow your head and either renounce your faith or they're going to chop your head off, and you refuse to renounce your faith, it's genuine. It's real.
Yeah, to say the least. And again, I wonder how many in America that call themselves Christians can pass that test alone. I mean, I have to ask that question.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't exclude myself in that question, too. I mean, seriously.
Right.
I mean, can stand against it. We're down at the last 3-4 minutes here. Again, tell the folks your website, how to get in touch your organization, and what they need to do to follow up on it.
Yeah, certainly. TheTide.org. And on there is a contact form they can fill out. I'd welcome any contact from anybody that'd like to email me for more information, or just if you can't find what you're looking at on our website, there at thetide.org, sign up for the letter. You can get, as I said, prayer requests. You can learn more information, see the countries we're in, the languages, and as I said, there's additional contact information there on the website, but you should be able to find everything you need at thetide.org.
And the nation that you're going into now, is it easy to find converts to take the gospel in their languages? Has that been an issue?
That is an issue in some countries. We talked about Arabic. We desperately want to do a program to reach into Yemen. We cannot find believers, at least who are willing to take that risk and step out. So it is, there are places where it is definitely a challenge. And so we have to try to rely on perhaps some near culture people who speak a mutually intelligible language to at least get a foothold there. But yes, there are some nations where it is almost impossible to connect with or find a believer to get the ball rolling on an outreach like what we do.
Wow. Well, that would be certainly a huge step of faith for those folks to do that. It really would.
Absolutely.
It would be one huge step of faith. Well, Don Shank, thank you so much for being with us tonight. I have enjoyed this. Maybe, if God willing, we'll do it again sometime.
Well, thank you, Pastor Butch. It's been a pleasure talking to you and to share from my heart and to hear your heart.
Well, please keep in touch, and I'm going to keep an eye on your website. I'm going to keep up with what you're doing. If I ever do anything to help, all you have to do is give me a call. You got my number. Contact me. I'll do what I can to help with the little outreach we have. We are blessed to have many listeners that are truly love Christ. They really do. And they're doing their best to spread the gospel of Christ and stand for the truth in this country. Unfortunately, standing for the truth is going to be an unpopular thing all over the world, but even here in America, mm-hmm. You get in trouble if you speak the truth and go against something as evil as the nature of homosexuality or the murder of babies, mm-hmm. or what it may be. Today is controversial in America. There was a time that would have been, it was outlawed. You went to prison for it. But today it's accepted being normal, mm-hmm. because the churches have become basically silent on these issues. For whatever reason, mm-hmm. makes no difference what the reason really is, it's still killing the nation. And you're taking it into other nations. That is remarkable. And thank you for doing that and for being out there, Don. And I'll be in touch in the future, God willing, but you know where I am if you need me.
Thank you. I appreciate that very much.
All right. I'll talk to you soon. God bless, my brother.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. All right. All right, folks. I mean, no calls again tonight. I hope you are listening and understand what we're doing and enjoying it, because to me it's such a blessing to find an organization that's actually taking the gospel through native tongues in other places of the world. Folks, we need that here. We need the gospel here so desperately. Mm-hmm. But the light in America has become almost unwelcome. We've had it for so long, but we no longer pay attention to it. Again, Don, hang in there and do keep in touch from time to time.
Thank you. We will do that. It's always a pleasure for me to connect with people who have that commitment to speak truth and to see God's word spread. And I do want to see the church in America grow, because
Amen.
I believe we can continue to make an impact. God can use this nation. God has blessed us despite the way some things happen in society, and we need to pass that blessing on to the rest of the world, because the greatest
amen, amen.
God
we need to take what we have left quickly and use it. Yes, amen, before
mm-hmm.
we lose it all.
Absolutely.
But thanks again, my brother. I'll talk to you soon in the future. And folks, we did the best we could tonight to bring it out to you and show you the truth. Thanks for joining us tonight. I'll be back tomorrow night, of course, as usual, Lord willing. And I hope you'll join us then. But let's stand together. Let's pray together. And I do covet your prayers even for myself from time to time, folks. I'm only a man. I have situations and physical issues from time to time. I'm only a man like everybody else. I'm nothing by any means in a way of a super individual of any kind. So I need your prayers, and I covet your prayers. And thank you for helping us keep this radio broadcast on the air as long as you have. Almost 33 years. And I want to thank you for taking the time to join us on these broadcasts and standing with us so long. By the grace of God, we will see you tomorrow night. Good night.
Of integrity. I personally endorse Melody Cederstrom to be your trusted go-to expert for all your precious metal needs. Experts agree a financial crisis and even collapse is inevitable. Given our government's lack of economic leadership and self-interests of those in power, it's no longer a question of if you should purchase gold and silver, but if you will purchase gold and silver before it's too late. Melody encourages you to tune in each weekday morning. Visit csetalkradio.com. We both agree truth and education are the two significant factors in both our missions. There is a wealth of misinformation out there. Let Melody and Beth Ann help you sort through the chaos and bring you home to the truths that will ensure that you and your family are protected. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading, 1-800-375-4188, or online at dgscoins.com. Melody and Beth Ann are strong forces together, working to preserve liberty and bring America home.